Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and Mom, it's great to be here with you today on this special event when a number of you dear sisters are being sent out into the church's ministry in the office of deaconess. Now, I don't want to start a debate here on campus. Oh, well, maybe I do. But in some ways, I think we have here an account of the first deaconess, Mary Magdalene. This wonderful account, this wonderful resurrection account, has as its star player in John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene, a woman whom we are told earlier in the Gospels was healed by our Lord Christ of seven demons. And as some of you are probably aware, there's debate between the Eastern Church and the Western Church and between Protestants and Roman Catholics, as usual, over the identity of this woman. Is she the woman healed of the demons, the one who poured perfume on our Lord's feet, the one whose brother was raised by our Lord Christ from the dead, and is the same woman, the one before us here today? Well, like Luther said, I'm not going to get any gray hairs over this arguing about it. I'm just going to assume, yes, she was. What a remarkable lady. What a remarkable example for us. As our Lutheran confessions tell us, the purpose of observing saints' days is to learn from their example, to see God's grace in their life, and then to ask ourselves how, where, when, and why can we apply the same virtues we see in them in our lives and in our ministry. Mary Magdalene is not only a model for the, in a few moments, soon-to-be deaconesses going out into the church, but a model for all of us who hold the holy office of the ministry or who aspire to that office and are studying for it here on this campus, which I'm proud to say is my alma mater as well. What drove Mary so passionately to be with her Lord? She was with him constantly. In fact, with only one exception in the Gospels, she's always named as the first woman when describing the women who were following Christ. Very interesting. She was with him through his ministry. She was healed by him. She expressed her love for our Lord by anointing his feet and drying them with her hair. She knew to go to her Lord when her brother had died, send word, have him come quickly to help. And she was there at the foot of the cross, watching him during that horrible torment. And I was thinking about this for the past week, just meditating on this text, thinking, can you imagine having to stand there and watch a person be crucified? So close, she could see the blood dripping from his body. So close, she could hear his tortured breathing. So close, she could hear his groans and his sighs. So close, she could smell the crowd. She could smell the blood. She could hear the laughter and the jokes. She could hear our dear Lord's mother weeping, no doubt uncontrollably. What a traumatic event. And so it's no wonder that she gets up as early as she possibly could after the Sabbath was over and raced back to that tomb. What did she intend to do? The stone was there. The soldiers were there. What did she think she was going to be able to do? We're not quite sure. She probably hoped to anoint his body once again, as she had in life, so now in death. It was very, very early. It was still dark. Setting aside all concerns for her personal safety or any ramifications, she ran to the tomb. And what did she find? She thought somebody had taken her Lord's body, a natural assumption. And she pleaded and said, if somebody has taken him, please give him to me, I'll handle him. And how could she have handled this, what she thought was a dead body? She was filled with a burning passion and love for her Lord. And it is that burning love and passion for the Lord that fills our hearts and our lives and animates our ministry and animates the service which you deaconesses will be giving to your Lord. You, like Mary Magdalene, will now spend your life expressing your burning desire and passion and love for your Lord Christ. You will want to be with him as closely as you can, just like Mary Magdalene was. What a surprise was in store for her. She thought this Lord was dead, but he was not. I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit, but she thought she saw a gardener, and she pleaded with him, "Sir, please, please tell me where he is. Please return him to me." And with just one word, Christ assures her, "Mary." Can you imagine the joy she felt when she realized who this man was standing before her? Her risen Lord. Suddenly her grief turned to joy. Her crushed heart was healed again. The spirit of doubt, the evil spirit of depression, the evil spirit of fear was driven out of her. And all the remembrance she had of her Lord during his life came flooding back into her heart and mind. And what did she do? She tried to grab him and hug him. And then Jesus says this very strange and odd thing here. "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." What in the world is that supposed to mean? Perhaps, as many church fathers have observed, and as Luther observed in his sermon on this text, what it meant was Jesus was helping Mary to understand that something new had taken place. Now was not the time to think that there could be a return to what was the old relationship, face-to-face physical relationship. He had not yet ascended to his Father. So he had to help Mary realize as soon as possible, things have changed, Mary. I am risen. I am ascending. And as she would soon discover, precisely in the ascended Lord Jesus Christ was her power for the rest of her life. Precisely in the ascended Lord Jesus Christ is your power for the rest of your life. Dear friends in Christ, as we read these texts, first we identify ourselves in them as those who can easily doubt, can easily run away from our Lord, can easily be crushed when we realize the enormity of our own sin, when we realize that we stand before our Lord condemned and judged and damned as sinners before a holy and righteous God. Now, there's something in this text which I find utterly fascinating, and I know you will too. Jesus tells Mary to go back and tell his brothers that he has risen. And isn't it interesting? He refers to them as brothers. That's his first word he uses for this group of men, except for John, who had abandoned him. We're not Jesus, so our reaction might have been a bit different. "Mary, you go tell those no-good, rotten scoundrels, those jerks who abandoned me when I needed them the most, the ones who I wanted to stay with me, you go tell those faithless ingrates that I'm risen, and there's going to be hell to pay." But instead, his first word for them is brothers. Jesus knows your weakness. He knows your failings. Dear deaconesses, dear brothers, dear sisters in Christ, when we set out on the path of following our Lord Christ, there is an initial enthusiasm. This is one of those mountaintop days for you. Your heart is filled with devotion. And frankly, dear sisters in Christ, I hope today you are trembling just a bit. It always frightens me when a man goes out from the seminary so full of confidence he's going to change everything and he's going to make everything wrong right. And he is so utterly convinced that he is God's gift to the church. Now, I must confess I had some of those feelings myself, but, first couple weeks in the parish, sir, abuses you of that notion. Dear sisters in Christ, your Lord Jesus Christ has healed you of your sins through his blood shed on the cross. He has drawn you into relationship with him through your holy baptism. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. You are sent by your Lord, like Mary was, back to tell the brothers, back to tell the church, he is risen. Come and see. Something's happened. Something new. Something wonderful. Mary Magdalene, it is said in the history of the church, spent the rest of her life with Mary, the mother of our Lord, in Ephesus. Now, we can't know for sure, but I'm not a person to automatically doubt these legends. There might be every good reason to think that the woman who had spent most of her life with Mary continued to do so, serving her. One of the great church fathers, Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the most referenced church fathers in the Book of Concord, and one of the church fathers Martin Luther happened to have a strong devotion and love for, is the one from whom we receive this description of Mary Magdalene, that she is the apostle to the apostles. She was the sent one to the apostles, the one sent by our Lord to tell them that he had risen. Now, you know all the silliness that the liberals make of this phrase and all that nonsense, but isn't it a wonderful thought? Mary Magdalene's role was to support and help and hold up the apostles. And that's what the office of deaconess is all about, too. That's what all the helping offices are in the church, to help, support, sustain those who hold the office of the holy ministry in the pastoral office, the praedicamt, as our Lutheran confessions describe it, the preaching office. And what is the goal of this office? The goal of the office is to make known the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, to stand in his stead and to proclaim to his people, you are forgiven. Your sins are taken away. You are made new people. You are sent for a purpose. You are saved for a wonderful, wonderful future of life forever in new resurrected bodies in heaven. And Mary Magdalene, the one who was weeping, was the one whose tears turned to joy, as her Savior simply said, Mary. Now, I wish I knew all your first names. Are they in here? No, they're not. But if I could, I'd love to say to each one of you your first name. I can say Jean. That's all I know. Sorry. But I'd love to be able to say to each one of you just your first name. Your Lord is calling you to his service. Thank God for your time here at the seminary. I admire you and commend you. And I just wish you all of God's richest blessings as you go out into his service. What a joyful thing it is to be with God's people in their misery, in their hurts, to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And through it all, you will be bringing the message of this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. You will share that joy that Mary Magdalene knows, knew then, and knows now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us then all contemplate and meditate today on this great saint of God, the one who was healed by her Lord, who thanked him richly and therefore demonstrated her faith, and who was there to hear his healing word, even as we do now in his word and in this blessed sacrament, where we now can take our Lord Christ into our own bodies for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds until life everlasting. Amen.